Take your time, fastest processor on the surface of the globe, you fuck. Unbelievable. It's an i7, for no one's sake.
That's the name
for
of the job's
processor? For
job's sake. i7?
For job's sake is fine.
For job's sake. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Oh, my job.
Oh, my job.
Oh, your job.
Job, damn it.
OMJ.
Job, damn it.
OMJ.
Oh, for job's sake. Shut your jobless mouth.
Go ahead and sneeze.
Achoo.
Job bless you.
That sounds like you're saying jaw.
Job bless you.
Like a Rastafarian.
I guess, right?
Job bless you.
God bless you.
God bless I.
Oh, I do bad accents. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless
I. God bless you. I'm also a shitty actor.
O.M. Jobizzle. Sounds like Snoop Lion just dropped.
Tell me when. Line. I'm ready when you are.
All right.
Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by the Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks on the inner tubes and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
That's right, and please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now, or I'll use my mind powers to find you.
She'll do it, folks.
That's right. Hey, why aren't you disagreeing with me?
I gave up on that.
You did?
Yeah.
That's great. Woo!
What are you doing?
Using my mind powers?
It sounds like you're using your mouth powers.
Mind powers, mouth powers, anything to get people to subscribe.
Please subscribe and save Heather and me from any more embarrassment.
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have one guest. Dax Jordan is with us, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm one guest with the power of several.
We don't do many shows with a single guest.
No.
This is amazing.
I didn't want anybody to be in your shadow.
Well,
it's just not fair.
Los Angeles is all about when preparation meets opportunity. Most comedians that we spend all our lives in Los Angeles waiting for other people not to show up.
Exactly. So speaking of Los Angeles, everybody in Los Angeles, well, at least in our, I don't know how far out it reached, but got a shake-up call at 6:25 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I just coin that phrase? That's a great phrase.
You got a shake-up call.
You got shook down.
How did I think of that? So, yes, it's awesome to me. Many people are afraid of it. Absolutely scared shitless of the earthquake.
I was.
Well, yeah.
When it wakes you up. Yeah.
I was awake.
She was awake.
Oh, you were already awake.
I was already awake.
Waiting outside the bathroom.
What's wrong with you?
I was, well, you know, my job is an overnight job, right, so I get up several times at night to, you know, do some things, and I was sitting there, and I heard a loud boom, and then the whole building shook, and I just stood there in a panic, not knowing exactly what to do with myself.
Mm-hmm. When I posted on Facebook, I said that it was 20 seconds of shaking, and then when you watch the videos, it's like five or six.
It felt like an eternity.
It does.
Time changes when shit like that happens.
When
you're
panicking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like I knew how long we were shaking down in Newport for the Northridge shake. That was 40-plus seconds. And I felt
that
like that was
that,
right.
That made the bridge fall down and all that stuff?
94. Yeah.
Ooh.
94, I think so. I don't know.
And I swear I can have
linear
sex.
Linear time for, is a mystery to me.
I swear I can have sex for 10 minutes, but then when I watch the tapes, 40 seconds.
Man, I didn't know what to do. I had my phone on me, and I was like, do I climb under the chair? And I know that going in a doorway is a bad thing. You're not supposed to do that. It's a myth.
That's a myth now?
Yeah, you're not supposed to go hang out in a doorway.
Right.
No.
I don't know why.
Because that's where everyone's rushing through to get the hell away from the scary thing.
That's where the door slams on you when the ghosts try to run out.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. It's not necessarily stronger. It's it's amazing how many myths people put their lives at risk over. And that's one for years I thought was true.
Well, not everybody would have a real understanding of architectural structure and where the safest point in the house.
Well, but in an advanced society, you would expect that somebody would be communicating good, clear, concise
advice based on scientific understanding
but
of
I
these
think
things.
All how, yeah.
Well, maybe it's arches. Maybe an arch is a strong, good place to
it
hang
is.
Out.
Yeah.
But a door isn't necessarily an arch.
How am I going to get under Heather's foot? It's the only arch we have
high
in
arches?
The house.
High arches.
Don't talk about our fetish.
No, all of a sudden, we can't do what we always do.
No,
let's
boy.
Talk about our fetish. That's
yeah,
all we
that's
do.
The idea.
So I don't know what the. I honestly, I know under something is smart. In the Northridge, I grabbed the mattress, and it was 40 seconds. That's a plus. So within 15 or 20 seconds, I was like, "This is big. Mm-hmm. This is really big." It sounded like the sounds you would hear in a poltergeist movie. There were screams of kids. I felt like I heard screams of children. And we don't have any children in our apartment complex. It was an adult complex. And
they were screaming so like children.
Yeah. So it was screams of men then.
Well,
grown men.
Grown men.
Then I realized
childish
it was...
Childish screams of grown men.
It was the echoes of my own voice.
Right.
But no, I did. I heard screams of people that couldn't have been making them in my neighborhood, or at least in my complex. Sounds do weird things in major earthquakes. The sound waves that make it to you, I suspect, might be carrying sounds from miles away that you wouldn't otherwise hear. That's a guess of mine, but I don't know if there's any science behind it.
I don't know if there's any science behind
yeah.
that.
Maybe the...
Well, how do you study such an idea?
Maybe the home itself was screeching.
Right.
Well, I also heard crashing of glasses. And breakage. I heard dropping and breakage. Nothing in my house broke.
Mm-hmm. You might have, like, maybe pipes sound like they're screaming or something when there's.
Oh, that's
you know,
a good idea,
maybe.
Right.
I hope Wendy's not listening to this because it's funny. But in that earthquake, all her cabinets in her kitchen flew open and all the glass and plates.
In Wendy's mom's?
In Wendy's house.
Oh, right.
And so when I came over her house, this is when I was new to California, I went over her house, she had bungees holding all her
that's
cabinets
funny.
Together. And
yep.
I'm like, why do you have bungees all around your cabinet? She goes, just in case of an earthquake.
It's like living in an RV.
Yeah. I know, it was.
It's the same it's the same reason many Jews hide money all over the place. It's a fact.
Because of
I know, no one wants to admit that that's
right.
a fact. It's absolutely a fact.
It's a thing. It's
a fucking thing.
I don't know if it's a fact,
when
but it's a thing.
Collapse and
a lot of Jews, a lot of Jews whose parents have tattoos on their forearms. They absolutely... One day I was talking to, I won't name this person, great sense of humor, comic, not a comic, a comedic writer, a very well-known comedic writer, and pulls out a little tiny purse and pulls a few hundreds out to hand me to go purchase something. And I go, hey, you're Jew gold? And he goes, yeah.
Whoa.
And I go, cut it out. And he's like, no, that's exactly what this is. That's mm-hmm. that's a real thing. That's what this is. And I have it all over the place.
I have a guess.
What?
If you're in danger of having your house raided and people coming in and taking
yep.
things out of it, then of course that's what you do. Just like when you're traveling, you're going to spread your money out over different parts of your body and your luggage and your room and wherever. So that
I'm going to spread my $5 throughout the entire
I've got a roll of nickels keistered right now.
Keistered?
Keistered!
Just in case there's an aftershock.
Okay, Keister's can we just write firm. Down... Can we just write down right now that Dax has a roll of nickels keistered?
That's why I got to do
that, writing it down.
That is our description. One of the things that takes so long for us to finish all of the episodes and get them uploaded is writing a good description and listening to the show.
Go.
And so I'm stopping the show now. I'm saying, write that down. That's our description. Dax, you've just knocked it out of the park. I challenge you to write it, to do a joke that's better than that.
That's
going to
be Dax's description. Mm-hmm. We still need
From
a description of the show.
Okay.
If anybody in the live audience can think of a good description of the show by the time the show is over.
You should ask for that.
That's an idea.
Every time.
Every time we do the show, here's what I want to say, and we'll say this in all the shows from now on. To anyone watching live, chatting on the wall or not, you can email me at emery@ardentatheist.com just use that one, emery@ardentatheist.com, and give me your submission for titles of our shows.
Well, and description.
I like what you...
You don't even have to be on the live wall. Well, no, you'd have to be.
Well,
you'd
if you're on the wall, you can just tell me. I'm right here monitoring.
Right.
Monitoring. I like your shake-up call line.
That was a good one.
That could be a good one. This is a shake-up call for
nice.
Rational
right.
thinkers.
Call, write that
there you go.
Down.
The shake-up call for irrational thinkers.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, so the earthquake was fun. I had a good time. Heather hated it. She hates earthquakes now.
I love
Whatever.
Them.
And you like them, too. You're like,
earthquakes can fuck off.
Aw. Wow. They're very sensitive.
I don't like it.
I don't know that they're very sensitive.
Oh, they're not?
I think they're kind of brutish.
No,
If I had to pick a description of an earthquake, it would be brutish. And sensitive.
They are pretty deep, though, usually.
They are. Well, are they, usually? Yeah, I don't know. I think you're saying deep. A sentence we don't
I've
know.
Known some shallow earthquakes. I'm just saying.
Right. We are in L.A.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We are in L.A. So, yeah, cool. I enjoy earthquakes. There was one that hit when I was living in Arcadia. And I was sitting, it was very small to me. I was sitting in like a Denny's, I think, with Kirk Nolan, a friend of mine, and he was in town visiting. And we thought a truck had gone by. Hmm. And I said, did you feel that? He's like, yeah. I go, you think it's a truck? And we're like, both of us are like landing on truck, mm-hmm. shook the building a little. And then we look around the restaurant, and there are a lot of people all going, what the hell was that? And you can hear earthquake being said. And then I look up, and this is the dead giveaway. If you think you might have been in an earthquake, and you're in a place with hanging lights of any sort, mm-hmm. look at the light fixtures. If they're all doing the same thing, you just experienced at least a small trembler. Mm-hmm. Or tremor. That's another thing that bugs me.
Tembler.
What's tembler about?
Temblor is Spanish for... earthquake.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, this is America, motherfuckers. I hear trembler, I hear tembler, and I hear tremor. And I'm like, can we just land on one of these?
No.
Language sucks.
A lot of words is nice.
You like a lot of words? You Chinese, you fuck?
What if one of those words ends up being a racist term somewhere? We're going to want to have other words.
Options. We need options.
We're not even racist, but like...
Trembler, please.
Oh, like what if it becomes a slang term for a person with Parkinson's or something?
Oh.
Check out the Tembler in the corner
right.
there.
What? Where's Michael J. Fox? What?
Right. See?
Where?
Then you're going to want to have those other ones to
canceled.
Go
to. That's where he is.
So together, right?
Oh,
canceled? He got canceled.
I don't know. I have
so
no
that's
idea.
Where... I heard he was pretty
one
shook up over it. I think we may have just made an epithet that can be aimed directly at Parkinson's people. That's
I think we got
so
it.
Tembler.
We,
Tembler.
We're going with Trembler or Tembler?
I think Trembler.
Make up your damn mind. But
this show is going to suck.
Oh, boy. I'm going to call them Temblers.
Yeah?
Yeah. You guys call them whatever the fuck you want.
You're the one writing it. I'm going with Tembler.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm the one who's going to get in trouble.
Dax Jordan.
Yeah.
On record right now as referring to the condition that Michael J. Fox is suffering from as
brutishly
a Tembler.
Referring.
Yeah.
Brutishly.
We call them Temblers now.
Temblers. So. I just need
the press. I'll take it.
Yeah, you do. You do. You do need any press you can get. Boeing 747? 350? Flight 350? 370.
Yeah. Disappeared.
Just gone.
Never
disappeared.
Heard of it.
I haven't really been keeping up on
I have.
Its travels or lack thereof.
Yeah, I have. And it's really intriguing. The story is highly intriguing because it looks like the thing could have just banked left and disappeared into desert country where there are a lot of...
aliens.
Anti-American Muslims hanging out.
You know why this excites me so, don't you?
Why?
Yeah, because you, my friend, my dear, lovely, lifelong friend, Samantha Kramer. Actually, Samantha Kramer's on the show today. So that's we're going to add you to the show.
Yeah.
So now we have to have a quote from Samantha. So
please don't.
because you're a conspiracy freak. You dive on conspiracy things. They make your nipples hard.
I don't dive
they
on
get your
things.
Fucking juices
I enjoy
flowing.
A good conspiracy.
You're wet at the thought.
I am wet at the thought
wow.
that this only shows that, yes, also, those planes could have been replaced on September 11th.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, if planes can disappear, I'm just saying.
Are you wearing your big government panties?
I am. My giant government.
What do you mean? I'm going to hold you to the wall on this.
My God.
And you know what I mean by that. Yeah. What do you mean? I mean, I want to understand what you mean.
I just mean, do we have another example of a commercial airliner disappearing?
Don't we?
Do
there
we
are
not?
Yes, into the mountains.
And
that's,
into
that's
the
more common explanation.
Right.
And usually, and when it's happened before, when we've been hunting and hunting for where the hell the damn thing disappeared to, we know that it was crashed based. Yeah, roughly.
This is different.
Well, it's only different in that if this turns out to be like the planes that have gone down in mountains and had to be discovered, if this turns out to be that, you remember the people who ate each other on the mountains, Andes, I think, that went down.
Yeah.
Soccer team.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So there's an example of this happening and people surviving the crash.
But isn't there information coming out that's sort of clocking some of the last moves made in the...
Hold on. Yes, absolutely. Now, let's you and I...
I have a couple of pilot friends. So.
Great. Let's you and I talk about this. If that plane went south, it's in the ocean. If that plane went north, then it's conceivable in this day and age that someone might have endeavored to steal a 747, land it in the desert, and then try to use it in the future as a weapon. That is a completely reasonable idea in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The two options, those are
it
them.
It does seem like something you would do.
Ma! What the hell? I'm not a woman.
Well, there's an article that says Beyond Malaysia Airlines flight M3370. Six it's other planes.
Flight 370.
Okay.
You said M3. It's MH370.
370.
But just, it's 370.
More like
I'm trying to read this.
Airline.
Go ahead and read.
Six other planes that disappeared and were never found.
Ah, six other planes. Uh-huh. Oh, that right there is what makes me crazy.
I'm so glad
about
I'm
those
on
arguments. Yeah. You can't see what just happened. Hold on. Before we move on.
No.
What is happening?
Get on mic. You have to be on mic.
On the face.
No.
He's reading a camera. So that we can see Sam's smug.
You wouldn't do such a thing.
We just want to see her beautiful, smug,
isn't
conspiracy
she gorgeous?
Face.
There you go.
Oh.
This is what I did.
Look at the gorgeousness.
There
oh, my
go.
God.
So there you go.
And that's what you get. That's what you get from conspiracy people. It makes me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be clear here.
Blah,
it sounds like
blah.
Sounds like Sam and I are probably going to have a really fun hour and a half right now.
I don't have
We've
anything
done
to
it
say
many
about
times.
It. I just
oh,
think it's
bullshit.
Fun.
Oh, bullshit.
I think it's fun.
But that is, in my opinion, that's the quintessential conspiracy response when you offer, you know, I sat in this living room, I think it was this one, it might have been up in Santa Clarita, with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
I invited her over, and I bought wine. I don't buy wine for people, but I bought wine because I know she likes wine.
I don't even remember this.
And I invited her over, and I said,
oh,
would you please bring me your list of compelling arguments, the things that really make you think 9/11 was a real conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
What really amazed you? And we got together, very cordial. In fact, I think it left quite cordial, too.
Wine helps with that.
List by list, point by point by point, you know, the melting point, all of the points that, and I had dove in. I went and I researched everything. I looked at both versions of mm-hmm. explanations that were mm-hmm. available. Actually, there's kind of a more than both. There's like five and six different explanations from different kinds of sources, government sources, individuals with personal opinions. I went and really looked at all these things. I'm an ex-firefighter, so the first thing that I was clear on was you don't have to have melting point. That's a non-argument. The melting point is a non-argument.
Why?
Fatigue. It's only got to be when you're in a house, it's made of wood mostly. That house doesn't come down when all the wood burns. That house comes down when all of the wood in when enough of no no enough of the wood in the house has been exposed to enough heat for a long enough period of time to be fatigued. Fatigued is the key. You have to have a fatigued structure in order for something to give in under its own weight, because that weight isn't just disappearing. Some of it's certainly turning to smoke, but with metal, it ain't going nowhere but right where it is and turning into different levels of hot. So when it gets fatigued enough, and the minute you get a floor or two to collapse, that's a massive amount, especially when it happens somewhere other than just the top floor. And we're talking about the top three quarters. Any of the experts that you talk to that know about fire burning talk about fatigue rather than melting points, because that's melting points a non-issue. And a red herring in the argument. That was one point, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd go, okay, fine. Fine. What about
this?
I'm not kidding. Wait, let me make my point. Because my point is, it has to do with what you were doing a minute ago.
Mm.
When she just pulled up six missing airlines, and you had offered, and I think reasonably, honestly, you
which
did.
Which I still think holds up. It just means that there were others before that I didn't know about.
But your argument, let's talk about that. Your argument was, has this ever happened before?
That wasn't my argument. My argument was the disappearance of this plane, if it could be called an argument and not just baiting, if it could be called an argument, it was that this the disappearance of this plane opens up a dialogue, a door for people to go, oh, okay, you know, maybe whatever. Because I don't have a whatever to tell you about it.
But
I
the
just
thing
have
you said
re-
was,
I have
has
questions
this.
Questions about it.
Well, you said, I want to get this right. Tell me if I get the wording wrong so we're having an honest discussion about mm-hmm. what was said and communicated and meant. You suggested or said.
You're also pinning a lot more importance to me baiting. Like the conversation than is really deserved.
Well, honestly, that's one of my biggest complaints about conspiracy discussions.
Okay.
It's all baiting. Every fucking bit of it is baiting.
Not all of it, absolutely yeah. not.
Well, that's how I feel.
Right.
When I discuss these things, and that's the escape route. The escape route is, well, just because that point's not right doesn't mean these other points we haven't gotten to isn't right. You know
well,
what I mean?
And you just laid down a bunch of stuff about fatigue and metal buildings that not only can I not refute because I'm not a scientist and have never been a fire person, but also I've read extensive articles by architects and people who specialize in this who say just not what you've said, for example.
I've read the same articles you're talking about.
Maybe, maybe not. I've sent you lots of videos and articles, and you're like, I won't even watch the rest of that.
First of all, it's not that I won't watch the rest of that. Mm-hmm. You have to be clear when I say that to you about what I say to you.
Well,
because
I know,
what I say is,
that...
I have seen these arguments.
Okay.
I've seen them double down. I've seen them over and over. I've seen them from different angles. Mm-hmm. And they're not impressive to me. That's it. I'll start an article and go, oh, I know this.
Right.
And I'll jump to the middle of it and go, yep, that's what it is. And then I'll go to the end and I'll go, yep, they're doing the same thing right. that I saw on this other thing.
Right.
It's so yeah, I mean...
I don't pretend to have answers about September 11th.
The hell you don't.
I absolutely don't.
You're constantly pretending to have answers to
no,
everything.
No, I have a lot of questions about September
okay.
11th.
All right. We have a break to do, I think, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're way late on the break. Here we go. You're listening to Skeptical Yours on SkepticalYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation. We have a premium ad-free service. That's right. We do the show for 90 minutes. You'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. Peanuts are one of the ingredients of dynamite.
That's good to know.
Don't get any ideas.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, Can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dax Jordan and Samantha Kramer.
I was just talking about how 9/11 was your fault in particular.
What the hell? What did I do?
You're a towel head.
You're the reason that the terrorists hate us.
I don't doubt that.
Because here you are calling them out on their beliefs.
Yeah, I do that on the other show. I guess I do it on this show sometimes. I do it every day of my life. I do it in my sleep. Yeah, I woke up this morning to an earthquake going, you fucking Muslims!
Where's the building going down this time?
You didn't blame Obama?
I did not blame Obama.
Well, yes, he did. Obama's a Muslim, so it's fine.
Oh, right. He's totally blamed as well.
That's a Muslim.
How could you forget such a thing?
Oh, fuck me.
So, do you want to get to that article?
Why not?
The plane thing?
Listen, here's first of all, the Malaysian, it's a Malaysian Airlines flight, I think?
Yeah.
Anyway, in Malaysia, they recruit witch doctors to find the missing Boeing passenger jet, which cracked me up beyond measure.
We don't know if they always recruit witch doctors. We just somebody recruited witch doctor.
Yeah, it's beyond bizarre. And
has anyone collected the accounts of psychics all over the country who I'm sure are coming up with visions as well?
I don't know the answer to that. Here, let's check this out.
马来西亚航空公司 MH370 航班已失联超过
For more than 100 hours by March 12th, local witch doctors performed a prayer at the airport. They acted as they were rowing a boat.
Okay.
He's holding the coconuts.
There's a guy in the back holding a pair of coconuts, another guy holding a basket, another guy holding a cane and rowing it like a boat. And this guy holding the basket up looks like he's just lifting the basket, scooping up imaginary water.
Or something.
Yeah. That is why they lost a plane. Okay? Let's be very clear. When that's how you behave, I'm not surprised you lost a fucking plane. So to get back to Samantha and me.
But wait. You didn't even mention that the people were, the Malaysian officials were embarrassed after this happened.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't like they were the ones that sent the witch doctors out there.
Right. So this is just basically their version of Westboro Baptist Church showing up to solve the problem.
Right, right. Can't you see how stupid we look in the eyes of the world?
Well, this never...
Did it work?
Do we have a ship, a plane yet?
Do we have
see,
a plane
here's
yet?
How that shit works. It when and if they find the plane...
Thank goodness those witch doctors did such
oh
a good
gosh,
job.
Oh, my gosh. They.
Right. I'm not really sure what they were trying to accomplish by the fake canoeing.
Well,
they,
you don't understand their language or their ways.
They were sending a spiritual canoe to the survivors. Duh.
spiritual canoe.
If you think Sam can't connect with all this nuttiness.
Ghost boat.
I'm telling you right now.
I'm so connected.
Okay. Well, I haven't said anything on the show yet, but I'm going to answer the phone. Hey, JJ Whitehead, what's up?
You son of a...
I'm all right. We're on the air right now.
I'll tell you what he's saying.
Put him on speakerphone.
Oh, I couldn't be here because
it's okay. It's okay. I haven't even yet outed you as someone who didn't show up for the show, but
Oops.
Now I have. Are you not able to make it tonight at all?
JJ Whitehead's on the phone.
Speaking to JJ Whitehead.
Calling from his ghost canoe.
Spiritual canoe.
He's arguing with the American government all day, is what he's telling me right now.
Oh.
That's pretty awesome.
Fight on, brother. Fight on.
Canadians. So quaint that they think they could win.
Oh, he's Canadian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, well, welcome to America, motherfucker. I don't know if you noticed you're Canadian, but you should get a mirror because that's what they do to you guys. All right. If you want to drive over and just sit down and join us, you're welcome to. If you want to get rebooked, let me know.
He's going to what? I don't know what you're, what's happening.
Makes for riveting.
Half an hour.
Oh, they're
riveting. Been on the air
right
for
now.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
Just look it's up JJ Whitehead.
I feel like
Google
we should
him.
Sing. We should sing some theme music. All right.
Figure out what.
Okay.
Saying.
Cool. Yeah. You have a good day fighting the government, and we'll rebook you soon.
My throat's gone.
Do it, Sam.
It's torn up.
All right. Thanks, man. See you later.
You have party.
No,
voice.
Don't worry. Shut up. Stop apologizing. All right. See
all
you later.
All that crack I've been smoking.
Yeah. Now, what you're going to have to do is listen to this episode and see what I say when I hang up. All right. I'll see you later, man. Bye.
dick.
Fucking Canadians.
Fucking Canadians.
I love J.J. Whitehead. No, he just messed up. He had forgotten. And I texted Blythe before the show, and I said, we don't have a J.J. Whitehead here yet. And she goes, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I didn't contact him today. So at the end of the day, this is our fault, not his. It's not a big deal.
Oh, this is Blythe's fault.
It's not Blythe's fault. It's not even her fault. Are you kidding me? She offered to start booking our shows and has done a great job of it. Mm-hmm. And in this one particular case, she gets a fucking pass. Know why? She's the lead role in an amazing play at the, how do you say it?
Caneo.
Caneo Players.
It's a canoe.
Theater. Yeah. Out
spiritual
in,
canoe.
Yeah.
And Tippecanoe, too. Caneo Players Theater out in Thousand Oaks every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go see Thoroughly Modern Millie playing the lead, my daughter, Blythe Renee, and your booker, Blythe Renee.
That's right. Through, about April 15th, I think it goes?
5 weeks, they said, she said, I think.
Amanda Bynes was in the audience this weekend.
Yeah.
Sitting in the front row, stone-faced.
Yes. That's exactly
what or just stoned.
As if she had been dragged there by her parents, which she had been.
I imagine she had been.
Yes.
That's funny.
I asked. I was asking her who today. I had coffee with Blythe, and I said, "Who is Amanda Bynes?" And she rolls her eyes like you do at dads, and she says, "It's this actress that's been in these things, and she's kind of had a meltdown recently on Twitter, and she's going through she's going through a lot of like probably rehab and just a mess." And I go, "Oh, so I'd be attracted to her then?" And she's my daughter said to me, "Oh no, she's way too old for you. She's my age." That's what happened at,
well,
at
she's
coffee
right.
today. Mm-hmm. You shut up.
No, it's true.
How old are you?
Too old for you?
No, you're not.
Oh, yay.
All right,
too
so
old for
enough
you.
Slamming, Emery.
So with the Malaysian Airline flight
this
as
is,
well.
Let me tell you what happens. There are...
Idiots.
Well, there are opportunistic dickheads. There are assholes. There are absolute cunts. Just absolute douchebags. I wasn't saying Jew. There are absolute douchebags.
I heard it.
Sitting at home, waiting for waiting to prey on people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Uri Geller is one of those pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of jagoff that would use a missing airline to put himself back in the spotlight. You, Uri Geller, are a worthless piece of shit. You're a cunt. You're a liar. You're a cheat. You're a piece of shit, and you're an asshole. There's nothing about you that is helpful to the world. You're not a good guy. You are a fake. You're a fraud. You're a phony. You're the kind of piece of shit that bends a spoon when people aren't looking and then claims you used your mind to bend the spoon. You, sir, are human garbage. Go fuck yourself. Get off my planet. You're a cunt.
Are we gonna watch video of him?
Am I Uri Geller?
We're gonna go to a break. I
don't
hate
think
that
he
guy.
Likes him.
You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now. So go check it out at www.ardentatheist.com. The microwave was invented after a researcher walked by a radar tube and a chocolate bar melted in his pocket.
What happened to his balls?
Those melt in your mouth.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dax Jordan and Samantha Kramer. J.J. Whitehead was not able to make it. Not his fault. Absolutely not his fault, all joking aside.
We don't miss him.
The fact that it's his fault.
So now, previous to the break, I had a mini Yuri meltdown. Heather, do you want to tell the listeners why?
So Yuri Geller revealed that he has been approached by a quote-unquote substantial figure to help in the search for the missing Malaysia aircraft.
A fat person? An unnamed fat person?
Is he not naming this person?
Not naming.
Yeah, of course he isn't.
Because he's calling them fat. You wouldn't want to...
So he's a spoon-bending psychic. We've gone over that. He's been asked to use his powers to explain what happened to the aircraft.
What powers?
Remote viewing. That he's going to use. And the best part about this is Yuri went to his Twitter followers and asked them to help him in his psychic search, saying, "I've been asked to help. I believe in remote viewing. Can you help me? Can you please try to see, quote unquote, where you believe the plane went down? How and why? What are your feelings? And what does your intuitive sense tell you?"
I could have asked the Twitter. Yeah, he's crowdsourcing
his psychic.
Psychic ability. Yes. Okay. Fucking unbelievable.
So here's the thing. Let's say he does find the plane, which, first of all, we would just assume somebody told him.
Right.
Somebody gave him a clue, and then he
worked from there. If he finds the plane, he's in on this.
That's right. But if he does, it'll only be impressive if he finds the plane and then bends it in half. That's what he needs to do in order to get his career back on track.
Yeah. Well, you know what'll happen.
And it's a Boeing 777.
Oh, I had the wrong four.
777s are usually much luckier.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So
remote viewing. And I bet Yuri Geller is at home looking for his actual remote right now. Where the fuck is my remote? Where? Is it in the...
That's very funny.
Get my Twitter up. Twitter followers.
Here it is, honey. It's bent in two.
Where the hell's my remote? You bent another one.
Looking. We have to order another remote.
Now I can't.
I don't know why I think his wife is some Jewish lady from the Bronx.
Mom, Sylvia Brown is dead. We can't ask her.
Yeah, Sylvia
Mom
Brown's passed away. Is Mom asking on the wall to ask? Yeah. I think Mom knew, but Mom's older, and she forgets things. Listen,
maybe she's just joking. She has a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. No. Mom could have been making a joke.
Imagine the money you could make if you were channeling Sylvia Brown. Like, if she
Holy
chose
shit.
You
Holy
to be
fuck.
Her
That is
conduit.
So psychically meta. Right.
That's really fucking great.
To be your conduit. Like, if you were her conduit from the spirit world to this world. Oh, my God. You just
You'd have to start smoking
it.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
She's like CheapAware or Kayak. They search other search engines. That's amazing.
Sylvia Brown channeling back into the world through some other douchebag.
Right. But she's on the other side. Channeling the star people that she channels. Oh, my goodness.
How has no one thought to do that? That's something that kind of surprises
me.
Yeah,
Google channeling Sylvia Brown.
Well, no, you know what occurs to me is it seems like someone should have thought to set up... Listen, first of all, you've seen Man on the Moon.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. You think he's alive or dead?
I think he's dead.
Okay. I think he left a lot behind... with his friends to continue going on.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So
Bob Zamuda.
Yeah, Zamuda, right?
Yep.
So you've got people who are continuing to do things to kind of keep alive this idea that he's alive, which I think is awesome and brilliant.
So the icon, awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it stands to reason that there's a logic. I don't know why a charlatan like Sylvia Brown or anybody else, for that matter, there's so many. Mark Edwards, is that his name?
Yeah. John Edwards.
Yeah. I always confuse him with our friend, Mark Edwards. But I don't know why those guys hadn't thought to...
Yeah, she should have somebody set
to
up
to do what you're talking about. Yeah. To take over the empire and continue it.
Yeah.
I wonder if... I'll bet there has been a mother-daughter team that kind of passed the baton of bullshit to each other.
It sounds hot.
It sounds like the kind of thing that... Oh, geez. It sounds like the kind of thing that would happen in, like, I don't know, like a more contained or remote civilization or something.
Well, see...
Like the witch doctor family legacy.
Yeah, yeah, it's passed down.
What about those people in New York who are the psychics that had that reality show, whole family?
The gypsies?
Yeah,
the
gypsies, yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a passing of the... of the techniques, you know what I mean,
right.
Even the beliefs that make you think you're doing something.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm honestly convinced that a good solid portion of the people who are running the business of being psychics, honestly believe that they're psychic.
Well, I think the people who put up a shop on the corner,
yeah,
and put up a neon sign, I do think that they believe their own bullshit.
Yeah, I think they're using their own gifts, whether it's just intuition,
yeah,
plus the ability to empathize with people and make them feel better.
Right.
Yeah, I think they think they're doing something.
Yeah.
The people who also have amazing business acumen, probably not really psychic.
Well, exactly. Yuri Geller, that's one of my old jokes, was if you're a psychic and you won't take a check, you're not a psychic. Yuri Geller used to bend spoons in a very, very simple way. Mm-hmm. James Randi exposed the technique.
Mm-hmm. Boy, did he get him good.
Oh, he nailed him to the
wall. Ray Hyman showed us in class. I took classes from Ray Hyman at University of Oregon. And
did you really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, he's phenomenal.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's part of the reason
we've had him
went
on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
He's part of the reason I went to University of Oregon. Really? I was on a stay in state, and I'm like, oh, that guy, he's great.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah.
We should show Randi, a video of Randi doing the Yuri Geller thing.
Yeah, look it up. Send it over. Randi exposed Yuri Geller's techniques on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, invited him on to do the techniques, of course.
Face-to-face?
It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he completely embarrassed him. And listen, Carson is one of the nicest guys in the world. And
is he still? Are you still in contact with him?
He's dead.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice so the only way I can contact him is to call Yuri. I'm not doing that. I'm just not going to resort to that. I'm going to have to miss him. So James Randi was invited on with Yuri Geller on The Tonight Show, and they were really nice to him, actually. Johnny Carson was super, super nice. And Yuri kept saying, my powers aren't working and things like that. There's so much negative energy. All of the escape routes that you use when you know that you're busted, when you know, mm-hmm. when you've been put in a scientific setting where you can't do, and you're sitting next to a guy who knows what you've been doing to convince the world that you're magical. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing. So when that happens, you know that guy is an eyes open liar. That guy is a charlatan who knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't, they call it a shut eye. A shut eye is the guy on the corner or down at Venice who thinks they're really telling you something with these cards. My aunt was a shut eye.
Oh,
my
I see. A shut eye versus an open eye.
Okay. Yeah. My aunt Lynn used to believe that the, what are those cards called?
Tarot cards.
Thank you. The tarot cards.
Tarots.
She believed that those tarot cards actually, told you something. Mm-hmm. She bought them, read the books. We would play with them, and the predictions were sometimes impressive, sometimes misses. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You never count the misses when you believe in something. You only count the hits. So she bought into that. I've sat and read a book with you and walked out when I was, I don't know, 30 years old probably, mm-hmm. About astrology that was stunning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stunning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there is something to astrology. This mm-hmm. this is impressive. And the more I studied it, the more I looked into it, the more I understood that the book that I read with Samantha was just a really well-written book, a book that really...
It chose its words very well.
It doesn't do such a wide... it's written differently than your weekend horoscope stuff. It's written a lot more creatively, really well.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like Ray Hyman's story, is that he started, when he was in college, he bought a book on palm reading and started reading palms. And started believing he was accurately reading palms because people were so amazed by the skills. And he was kind of buying into it and charging them for it. And then a friend of his wasn't so sure. And he challenged him to give the exact opposite reading of right. whatever it was that the book said to do. So he's like, okay. And he started giving the exact opposite reading and then got just as good a results mm-hmm. from that. And that's when the light bulb went on for him. And from that moment on, that was his field of study, was human error.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So the difference between a shut eye and an open eye, is that what they call them in our world?
And a jag-off.
A shut eye and a jag-off. Well put, Heather.
So you're going to go to like around 6:05, 6 something.
Thanks for finding that.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to queue up the James Randi exposé on
Uri Geller.
Of Uri Geller on Johnny Carson's The Tonight Show. I think that's what they called it, The Tonight Show.
Why'd you go there?
I hit space.
Oh, there you go.
Will you welcome, please?
Best
Uri
song
Geller.
In history, right there.
Uri Geller.
Johnny had been a magician himself and was skeptical.
That's the voice of James Randi.
To help prevent any trickery.
Nice to see you.
Thanks.
We have only met.
This scares me.
This scares you? Well, this is we just got some things together here. And
I told them to provide their own props and not to let Geller or his people anywhere near them.
Also, one of our staff members did some drawings which have been sealed in an envelope, and I'd like you to take your own pace when you feel like you want to try anything.
Right.
Do you want to try that particular experiment first?
When I'll feel free.
When you? Sure.
We'll start eliminating the ones that do not have the water.
All right, without touching them.
He is really suspicious, you know.
Yes.
I'm having a hard time with you.
Okay, I don't mean to be, Uri. I really don't.
Just keep looking. Okay, let me rest a little, all right?
All right.
Let me rest a little?
You know, I'm surprised because before this program, your producer came and he read me at least 40 questions you're going to ask me.
Well, I can ask you all kinds of questions if you'd like me to ask you questions.
I have to have time. And,
it's like stupid human tricks.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, more to come.
Yeah, they cut the commercial and come back.
He's smoking a cigarette.
Uri was telling me you don't feel, what, strong tonight?
I don't feel strong. It's not all tonight. Right now I'm feeling...
How embarrassing. This must be so hard.
Well, I'm not trying to press you. I'm really not. But, you know,
you're only telling me, well, will you try that?
This is probably one of the most uncomfortable moments on the Tonight Show ever.
I'm not trying to push you down.
So there you go. That's Uri Geller being exposed by Johnny Carson and on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And it was just epic. And there was a lawsuit, I believe. Uri Geller sued James Randi, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. I'm quite sure he did not win.
Yeah, no, he didn't win. No. You'd think he'd saw that coming.
Right?
Waka waka.
But, he's a bad, bad man. I have no kindness for this kind of awful, predatory jagoff. None whatsoever. And he charges people a lot of fucking money. You know, if all you're doing is just a magic show and you're claiming to do magic, a guy like James Randi, Penn and Teller, other people who go after charlatans, they're probably not going to bug you or come after you.
Yeah.
But when you when you become really huge and you're making a claim that completely undermines everything that we know to be true about physiology,
right.
about the mind, about our the world around us, you're undermining science. And that, my friends, that's when people like James Randi and me and Penn & Teller and others, we're going to come after you. And
I'm
we're
so glad there's people who are actually willing to do that and put themselves in that spot and possibly embarrassments, you know.
I think people like that are kind of like I heard the story about a guy who was hacking computers for the Republicans at one point. He's like, I signed up to help the Republicans because of the abortion issue. Democrats were killing babies, so I decided I would do anything to help Republicans
and justify the means.
Right.
Wow.
And so to him, that put him on the moral high ground.
Right.
And so I feel like people like Uri Geller, I feel like someone like him is probably going in saying, okay, I'm giving people hope. I'm giving people this idea that there's something greater and that connects us all and there's a greater power. And if I have to go out there and fake it to bring people together and to give them a leader to look up to me, the guru syndrome, where people accept. And we talked about this movie, Kumare, amazing documentary everyone should see on Netflix, mm-hmm. about a guy who decides to become a guru to expose the fact that people just follow gurus because they sound convincing and they want someone to follow. And that, in fact, you should be your own guru.
Yeah.
You could see that if he was just even a little bit sociopathic, that he could totally have spent the rest of his life in this character he created,
making millions,
sure.
making followers. Women were falling in love with him.
Oh my God!
I mean, they were ready to throw their money at him. And he was, in his heart, a good guy, and he was helping them. He was like, they would feel relief after unloading on him or doing his meditation exercises.
Oh, right.
and people of all ages and from different strata. And it's like, if you take some time and meditate and focus, and you're going to feel better.
Right.
But sometimes you have to have someone who seems focused and who seems magical to convince you to do that first.
Right, right. And I guess, I don't know, spoiler alert, he's not magical.
Not at all.
Okay, that's what I figured. All right, well, you're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to some of the listeners.
Wow, you sound so radio there.
That's nice. I'm doing that on purpose. Nice. Snake Oil. Dan R. James the Virgin.
What?
Yeah. Carl Barrett. Zingaman. Tim Carroll. Chase Neal. Leo Was Here. Annie T. Gray, Joe Swam, and Cameron Winters. These were some of the names of the people chatting in the Skeptic Tank during the last show. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Annie T. and Gray sounded like the same person.
Annie T. and Gray.
That's two different names, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, thanks for being there. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dax Jordan, Samantha Kramer, and not J.J. Whitehead.
And he's texting you saying, please talk too bad about me after I...
No. That's really funny. That's really funny. What does he say here? I hope you're not slamming me too hard, man. All I needed was a little warning today. I just had too much on my mind. Sorry. Yeah, he's got the government coming after him for fees and stuff, I think, over taxes and shit like that. Fuck the government. Fuck them in their neck. It's fucking government.
Okay.
There's a conspiracy to take the Canadians' money.
Yeah. Stupid government that invented the internet we're on right now.
That's not what happened.
Is that a conspiracy or just a really good idea?
No. He didn't. Gore did not say he invented the.
No. I wasn't saying Gore did. I'm saying the internet exists because of military DARPA.
That's exactly right.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gore never said he supported the government program that it came from.
Right.
Yeah. That's all he said. And then the right turned it into something that didn't happen. Pardon me. Anyway, I don't know if I've spent enough time talking about what a cunt Uri Geller is, a piece of shit, a worthless human being, just
add
a waste
pile,
of fucking protoplasm.
Yeah.
I wish that guy would just disappear. I wish he would just bend himself out of fucking existence. I hate him. I think he's awful. He's everything that's wrong in the world. He really is.
You want him to bend over and die?
I want him to bend over and die. And by the way, that's not a death threat. So those of you who are sitting out there thinking when you get an email and someone says they wish you were dead, that's not a death threat. That's been bugging me. And I haven't talked about this
right.
on the
this
show yet.
This came up a couple days ago.
We yes. were talking about this. It's yeah. not a death threat. If somebody wishes that you were dead, and that's the problem. We live in a world where people think wishes have some sort of power.
Mm-hmm. If you watch that exchange from a distance, then to me it doesn't look like a death threat. But if someone said to me, I wish you were dead.
Say it like that.
I would see in their eyes that they're cooking up a way to kill me. They just probably don't have the balls to do it.
Well, someone
probably.
Got offended on the Facts versus Faith group. I talk about this group a lot because I'm on there a lot. That got offended because I said, I wish people that believed a certain way would die off.
Yeah.
And they were like, you want me to die. You want me to die. And I'm like, no, I want you people who have your thoughts to cease to exist.
I know people who are very vitriolic against religion. Who and not just religion, like I am against Uri Geller and his ilk, and I got letters, for example, when we had this this anarchist libertarian on the show, and we really went at it, and I got letters that I know feminists, for example, feminists in our world, the skeptic world, would have referred to as death threats. They're not death threats. Mm-hmm. The kinds of letters that we get. Where people wish us dead, where people say that they hate us and attack us, are not fucking death threats. Here's a death threat. I know where you live. You're a dead man. That's a death threat.
Right.
And
but
so,
there's an in-between that still is psychologically uncomfortable.
Whatever.
To say, I wish people like who think like that would just die off, does that mean if they were in the room and they had a heart attack, you wouldn't call an ambulance?
No.
No, it doesn't mean that.
Because that's what it
I would
it
help
can
them.
Feel like.
I don't wish anyone to actually physically die, but
right.
I want the beliefs to die off.
Yeah. Right.
That's really what it means.
But it scares people because they're afraid of dying. So they feel like, all right, that's a step beyond beliefs to the person. Cause it's all about intent. They don't know that you don't really want them to die. When they hear that,
it's
like,
I think what Heather is saying is hate the ignorance, not the ignorant.
There you go.
What did I say the other day? The religious want to save your soul, but the skeptic wants to save your mind.
That's sexy.
That
I
like.
Sexy.
I like
that.
That
I like.
Yeah.
And I think that really illustrates the difference between what drives religion and what drives skepticism. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
But they don't want to save your soul because if you don't agree with what they have to say, they wish you hell.
Let me tell you something. I think I know that when I was religious, and when I would resort to, do you understand that the price that you pay is eternal damnation? That wasn't from my heart a threat to anybody. What that was an incentive. What that was an example of why I was afraid for their soul. And in my mind, it was loving what I was saying.
Exactly.
Well, does this sound loving to you? Just you wait. You better XYZ or else you'll be sorry. And then I say, I hate threats. Why are you threatening me? It's not a threat. It's a promise.
It's in their mind. In their mind, they are using what you would call tough love to try and scare you into their way of thinking, into their mindset.
Well,
that's what
it doesn't
that's
work,
about.
People. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Scare tactics of your faith, your fake God, does not work. With
I think
the
we're
names.
Doing the wrong show. All
well,
of a sudden. Did I mention Uri Geller is a cunt?
Yes.
I don't know if I mentioned that yet.
You know who else
or
is
a God
has a cunt?
One or the other.
Let me tell you something about Uri Geller.
Okay. he's not done.
I want all of us. To always...
Did he keister a 70
a roll
a stack of rolling nickels? Damn it!
Where did he get that roll of nickels?
Where did he get that roll of nickels?
He is Israeli.
This is gold.
I want to make sure we don't leave the show tonight without making sure that everybody listening recognizes what's happening when there's a massive, awful, heinous, insane thing like a missing 777, And then all of a sudden, some jagoff from the past or even the current, if John Edwards stepped forward and offered, this is opportunistic. This is predatory behavior.
Right.
And it should be tweeted as such. It should be spoken about as such. And he should be treated with the kind of disdain you're hearing from me by every human being with a conscience. There are people on that plane. If it went down in the Indian Ocean, that guy is the worst kind of human scum to cash in on that kind of tragedy.
Especially if he's getting paid for it.
Yes. Well, and so, by the way, he won't take any money.
Too soon?
Too soon. The problem is too soon. And for the record, don't be fooled by this charlatan, because he won't accept any money from anybody for what he's doing. He's getting paid in spades. And what I mean by that is someone's sending black people to him.
No.
What's happening is he's getting massive amounts of press.
Yeah.
And that amount of press for a guy like Uri Geller translates into, ready for it, millions of dollars.
Cha-ching.
Millions of fucking dollars. Yep. The next thing you know,
he gets to
spin whatever happens, and that's what they do. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. There are websites that talk about Sylvia Brown's percentage of failure. Mm-hmm. And she points at the 1 and 2 and 3% of hits,
right,
which aren't even impressive in and of themselves,
right,
but pretends like those are examples.
Nobody counts the misses.
Yeah, no one counts the misses. She certainly isn't when she's touting her bullshit. I shouldn't pick on a dead woman. No, yes, I should. Fuck you, too.
Nah.
Fuck you, you dead, psychotic, piece of shit cunt. And oh, fuck nice. You, Uri Geller.
At least her eyes are closed now.
Let me just say, before we move on, I'm done with Uri Geller. I want to make sure that we mention also in today's show, Jenny McCarthy is in the news suddenly.
Again.
Thanks to her Twitter account.
Yeah.
Yes. What she tweeted, oh, we're out of time? All right, well, we'll talk about that when we get back. I'm sorry. That's it for the free version of episode 64. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our not guest, J.J. Whitehead. We love you dearly, J.J., and we're not in any way upset that you didn't show up other than that we miss you. I also want to thank Dax Jordan and Samantha Kramer. Not to mention my co-host, Heather Henderson, and our technical team, Sam Kramer, as well.
She's on the show.
And Bindu sitting right there next to her. Tune in next time when our guests will be...
Fact lovers.
And we'll be talking about...
False haters.
Like tonight.
Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph Man with a Beard, Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Boy Who Is Weird, Winters.
He is weird. Where can they find you, Dax Jordan?
DaxJordan.com on the Twitters, at Dax Jordan.
D-A-X Jordan.
D-A-X-J-O-R-D-A-N. Two O's in there.
A-A-N. Yes. J-O-R-D-A-N. Sam, do you tell people where you are?
I'm at Sam Curley on the Twatter.
There you go. Go to the Twatter and find Sam Curley. You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.